bed. Now what I should have done keeps running through my head. Oh, I should have done this and I should have done that. I should have been that and she'd never left. I should have been hanging on every word she ever had to say. But it's a little too late, she's a little too gone. She's a little too right, I'm a little too wrong. Now would be a good time to change, but it's a little too late. Last night I came home at 2:45.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. With the election less than 3 months out, presidential candidates heading to key states for events today. Former President Trump will be in Montana for a rally where a close Senate race is heating up, and Democratic nominee Kamala Harris makes a campaign stop in Arizona. ABC's Rachel Bade says it will be a hard-fought state.
This is a border state. Immigration is one of the key sort of vulnerabilities that Harris has because of various ways that the administration has handled the migrant crisis, a lot of people being concerned that they haven't done enough. And yet she's going down there to try to convince people to give her 4 years in office.
In Fort Worth, Texas, the investigation continues into the drowning death of CrossFit athlete Lazar Dukic during the swimming portion of the CrossFit Games yesterday. That competition resumed today in his honor. Stocks have been on a roller coaster ride this week due to concerns over the economy, but investors may be on a buying spree later today. This is ABC News. In Austria, a third person now in custody over a foiled plot targeting Taylor Swift shows in Vienna. Those concerts now canceled. Authorities say the main suspect allegedly planned to target onlookers outside the stadium with knives and homemade explosives. A Russian chess champion facing charges now after allegedly trying to poison her rival.
Security footage shows Amina Abakarova sneaking into the tournament room of the Dagestan Chess Championship. Once inside, she appeared to pour a substance across the chessboard. Her alleged target later sat at the spot and ended up falling ill. Abakarova later admitted she'd spread mercury from a thermometer across the board. She could face up to 3 years behind bars. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
Olympic runner Noah Lyles facing some criticism over his bronze medal run Thursday after the superstar revealed he has COVID. USA Track and Field standing by his decision to compete. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. The Wisconsin Department of Justice launches a new missing child alert. Attorney General Josh Call was in Milwaukee Thursday to roll out the system, which expands the criteria for issuing alerts.
Having a child go missing is any parent's nightmare. I think any parent would tell you that. And this alert system is one that will help us locate more missing kids in the state of Wisconsin.
The new missing child alert can be issued for those missing under 10 years old who don't meet Amber Alert criteria, and those under 18 with disabilities that prevent them from returning home. It was inspired by 5-year-old Prince McCree of Milwaukee and 10-year-old Lily Peters of Chippewa Falls, who both went missing and were later found dead. A car stolen over 3 decades ago was found in the Wisconsin River. The Richland County Sheriff's Office says crews pulled the late 80s Pontiac Grand Prix from the river by the Lone Rock Bridge near the Sauk, Richland, and Iowa County lines. Thursday, the Sheriff's Office said they located the owner of the car and learned it was stolen out of Monroe County in 1990. It's not known how long the car was in the river. Nothing suspicious was found in the car, and it appears no one was hurt when the car went in. Sheriff's office is investigating just how it ended up in the river. Numbers are in from last month's speed enforcement day. The Wisconsin State Patrol said that on June 26th, they performed nearly 1,600 traffic stops, with about a third resulting in citations for speeding and another third given warnings. They added that 28 of the stops involved drivers surpassing a 100-mile-per-hour speed. The 24-hour effort by several state law enforcement agencies aims to educate drivers on the dangers of speeding and to save lives. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true, we take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly cloudy and breezy today, with winds whipping out of the northwest, dragging our high temperatures well below average and only reaching the mid-60s. Few spotty showers may sprinkle in this afternoon. Otherwise, tomorrow it'll be beautiful and a touch warmer, highs nearing 70. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 63 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Getting bigger as crop prices decline. The grain markets are prepping for the first USDA crop estimates of the year. USDA might ask you to repay ERP payments, and Vice President Harris's selection for VP has drawn a mixed reaction from the ag industry. We'll dive into all of that and more on this week's Free For All.
Live from a series of undisclosed locations via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer and Sean Haney. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis Michelson, woo-hoo! Thank you so much, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Today is unbelievable. It is. It's 62 degrees. At 10 o'clock in the morning in northeast Iowa. 62!
Okay, let me check here.
It's August 9th.
I've got a reading on my computer that I don't trust. Let me check the phone. 66 yeah. degrees here in the Constantinople wow. of the Midwest. Wow!
Wow!
When did that happen?
Man, it's what a mild morning. There's no question about it. Now, the temperatures are going to warm up as we get into next week, and by the time we get to crop tour and the week of the 19th, it's going to be back to normal and,
well, sure.
and maybe even a little bit above normal.
Yeah, but I know you like to get wow. a good sweat going out there, Chip.
Right. Yeah, that's what I enjoy the most.
Be right up your alley. Yeah.
Right, right. Oh, jeez. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
Good morning.
We've got the free-for-all coming your way.
Yes.
The selection of Minnesota Governor Walz mm-hmm. as the Harris running mate has generated some mixed reactions from the ag industry. On one hand, you know that Minnesota is very pro-biofuels, so the biofuels groups and supporters seem to be looking at Walz and saying, you know what, this is a pretty good pick. But there's also those that remember a comment that Walz made back in 2017 that once you get outside the cities, rural Minnesota is rocks and cows. Mm-hmm. And isn't it the land of 10,000 lakes?
That's what I thought.
There should be a recognition of all the lakes, too.
I thought it was rocks, cows, trees, and walleye.
The
list is incomplete, if you ask me.
If you don't include walleye, is the list complete? That's a
right.
great point. So,
they're so tasty.
Oh, they are. They are. Anyway, mm-hmm. We will be talking to Jim Wiesmeyer, get his reaction there. I'd love to hear Haney's Good. Reaction to it as well. And then we've got a lot of ground that we're going to cover today on the show. Okay, man, let's get started with the news. What have you got?
Well, I'll begin with the weather. The National Weather Service outlook calls for dangerous flooding and severe weather to continue as Debbie accelerates through the mid-Atlantic and Northeast today. Below average temperatures persist across the northern to central plains, upper to mid-Mississippi Valley. Above average temperatures continue across the west into the south, but with less record highs compared to previous days. Elevated fire weather conditions and poor air quality continue across the Great Basin.
Yeah, Debbie is really creating some havoc out on the East Coast, and it's not done. It's going to make its way all the way to Canada before this is done. Yeah.
Well, and talk to me about the smoke just a little bit. I'm not kidding around here, but have you noticed, has it gotten better or worse in your estimation because of this hurricane?
Much better. Okay. Well, it's much better here in Northeast Iowa. You can barely notice it.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. USDA daily export sales. There's a whole list of them here, Chip. 132,000 metric tons of soybeans to China. 100,000 metric tons of soybean cake and meal to Colombia. 212,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations. The second two, they're split between the this and the next marketing years, Chip.
Right, right. Yeah, it's good news, but long overdue and not nearly enough to have a major impact on the bean market at this time.
Well, Chip, the U.S. imported near-record levels of renewable diesel in the first 5 months of this year, averaging 30,000 barrels per day. That marks a 29% increase compared to the same period in 2023, this according to the Energy Information Administration.
That's not how this is supposed to work. Why are we burning up fuel to import renewable diesel so that we can reduce our carbon emissions? Mm-hmm. That's not how this is supposed to work. It is supposed to be made with U.S.-grown feedstocks. And that if that's not happening... Is it worth the tax credits? Is it worth the state credits on using the renewable diesel? I would argue it's not.
That's some expensive optics, if you ask me, Chip.
Yeah, that's right.
As of this week, Chip, the average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage stands at 6.47%. That's down from 6.73% last week. This marks the lowest rate since May 2023. The decline in mortgage rates is largely attributed to market expectations of Federal Reserve rate cuts.
Yeah, that's real rates leading the way for the Fed is what that is.
Well, Fed Reserve Bank of Kansas City President Jeffrey Schmid expressed caution about reducing interest rates, citing inflation remains above the Fed's target and the labor market is still robust, though it has shown some signs of cooling. The presidential debate, originally scheduled for September 10 on ABC, will proceed as planned, with both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump confirming their attendance. The debate was initially organized before Kamala Harris stepped in as the presumptive Democratic nominee, replacing Joe Biden. There was some uncertainty about Trump's participation, as he had previously hinted at withdrawing from the debate. But, Chip, it looks like there may be three of them, one on each ABC, NBC, and Fox, I believe I saw.
Yeah, that's the same thing that I saw, but it's good that at least this one debate has been confirmed.
Yes. Well, Donald Trump, the Republican presidential candidate, suggested he wants more influence over the country's monetary policy, challenging the traditional independence of the Federal Reserve. This comes after a report by the Wall Street Journal revealed that Trump's advisors had drafted proposals that would subject the Federal Reserve's regulations to review by the White House and require consultation with the president on interest rate decisions. I'm not sure how I feel about this, Chip.
He's not lacking for confidence in his he's just not. No.
Yeah. Well, July saw the third highest level of U.S. container imports on record with 2.6 million TEUs. A 16.8% increase from last year, driven by record shipments from China. Retailers responding to consumers shifting holiday shopping earlier have become more aggressive in their orders. Chip, you started your Christmas shopping yet?
No.
No,
Davis, I haven't.
Japan is on high alert over the heightened possibility of a huge earthquake that could cause immense loss of life and property across a wide stretch of the country. That comes after the nation's meteorological agency, for the first time, issued an advisory on Thursday saying the odds for such a catastrophe have increased. They had a 7.1, was that yesterday, day before, something like that, Chip, and it does look like there's the possibility.
Yeah.
There, but it says huge earthquake in the copy here. So
real quick, hit me with your last item.
Yes, in a joint statement, United States, Egypt, and Qatar are calling for renewed ceasefire talks between Israel and Hamas. United Airlines announced Thursday suspending flights to Tel Aviv for the foreseeable future. Hamas doesn't want to talk, apparently, at this point.
Right. This weekend looks to be a hot weekend in the Middle East on political issues. All right, we got the free-for-all coming up next.
Another great harvest, thanks to Pioneer Brand Corn.
Just a few questions.
Who are you?
Kim Kernel, Ag Sports News. I've been chasing your combine for a while. How does it feel getting 10 more bushels per acre over last season?
It feels great. Couldn't have done it without Pioneer. It's America's number one corn brand.
And there you have it, folks. Live from the field.
Who are you talking to? Pioneer. Your best year starts here. Learn more at pioneer.com/best yet.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
It's time to cut costs. Your Meristem dealer has the keys. Unlock the NPK you already own with new, improved Excavator AMS powered by Microbialized technology. Excavator AMS is the first and only all-in-one nutrient release and residue breakdown product with built-in nitrogen, surfactants, and water conditioner. Take cost out of your fertilizer and adjuvant spend down. Unlock nutrition faster with Excavator AMS. Learn more and find a dealer at meristemag.com. Always more bushels for less.
Some things shouldn't be flat.
I'm a tire.
But with GHX, you can maximize your acres with one flat price. While other brands sell by the bag, we sell seed by the acre to maximize your yield and profit potential. Our custom seed recommendations combine extensive product characterization and agronomic expertise to get the right product, population, and placement, all for one flat price per acre. Learn how at ghxseed.com/connect.
Retirement.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Friday morning for the free-for-all. What are you giggling about?
Dude, check this out. I got a note. When you have a Zoom meeting scheduled, it gives you a little reminder, and you just click here to go to the meeting and whatever.
Yeah.
I got one here. For some reason, it just popped up just now while we were in the break. 11:15 a.m. Tuesday, May 7, 2024. Apparently, I have a Zoom meeting scheduled with Clinton Griffiths. Apparently, I'm 13 weeks overdue. I wonder if he's still waiting. You think he's... I don't know why this popped up, dude. I don't know what this is.
I got a feeling he's moved on.
I'll give him one more minute.
I did have one more news story I think that might inspire some conversation. 50 years ago this morning, Chip, August 9, 1974, Richard Milhouse Nixon became the only U.S. president to resign from office, bowing to pressures from the public and his party to step aside 50 years ago today, Chip.
50 years ago today, the headlines and the front pages of newspapers from that day, Wiesmeyer had a couple of them in his update this morning. Man, oh, man, yeah, it was interesting to look back at what happened 50 years ago today. Speaking of Wiesmeyer, let's bring him in. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Good morning, buddy.
I'm here, Chip.
Excellent. Excellent. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Hey, Sean.
Hey, great to be here, Chip.
All right. Let's get right into it. One of the things that hit early this week, Jim, was the CBO scoring of the House Farm Bill. How did the scoring change? And scoring, just so everyone is up to speed on this, is just an estimate of what the bill is going to cost over 5 years, over 10 years. But how does the new scoring from the Congressional Budget Office change the outlook for the Farm Bill, Jim?
Well, it gave the naysayers to the House bill even more ammo because of what? The $33 billion it will add to the government deficit. But it just, you know, showed that the CBO, how they scored the CCC Charter Act is the key element there, Chip. They're not getting the score that they want. And also on the food stamps thing, I don't think it moved the needle other than something's going to happen. If you're going to have any chance of a farm bill, it'll come in the lame duck session where they'll give both sides you know things that they want. They'll give more funding for the Title I safety net programs, and there will be limited, if no, changes to the food stamp program.
Okay. Basically, isn't what's going on is the cost of the safety net is going up as crop prices are going down?
Yeah, but that would be with the rescore. They didn't rescore it.
Okay.
That was based on prior assumptions. Okay. We don't have a new baseline at all.
All right.
And what would those dates been? Like, when would those assumptions been as of?
Well, it would have, but they had to have it, I believe, by June 1. They made that declaration that the old baseline is still in play. If you go into next year, however, there'll be a new baseline. There'll be assumptions.
Yeah, the farmer-friendly bill, not necessarily financially friendly, if you're especially on their fiscal hawk side, right?
Yeah. Yes, and then you had FarmDoc, University of Illinois, came out this morning with the thing with vivid graphics that show how much more spending on a relative basis for the Title I program. So they called it almost a death knell for the farm bill. I think that's a bit strong.
Okay. All right. Senate Ag Committee Chairwoman Stabenow blamed the GOP for the stalled farm bill progress. This is what she said. This year, we're stuck because of an increased sense of partisanship and a desire by Republicans to really, really play politics with food.
Where's your bill, madam? Right. Chairwoman. You cannot compromise with the two versions until you have bill text. Why is she not putting out her bill text? Let CBO score that one, and I think there'll be some interesting analysis. And as far as getting political, it gets into this equity. I think the key topic, if these in the presidential debate, if they ever get there, will be the Democrats favor equity, which means redistribution from those who have, from those who do not have. And that's what Stabenow is kind of signaling. She favors food stamps, conservation spending, et cetera.
Right. Yeah, like I don't know how the even if we say, hey, yeah, the Republicans have been partisan. I think both sides have been extremely partisan. But let's just go with what she says. How did that prevent her from getting out her text? Like, they stole her pencil. The Republicans stole her typewriter. Like, what do those two things have to do with each other? She's being partisan by the statements that she's making week on this.
They're hiding. They're hiding stuff. That's all it is. She needs to be transparent.
And I continue to hear that the Republicans want less spending on the SNAP program, on the nutrition title. Is it true that the actual dollar amount would be going down from the 2018 bill, or is it just less of an increase than what the Democrats are looking for?
The latter, less of an increase.
Yeah.
Well, and the challenge is here is you've got more and more Americans, you know, based on the economic conditions, you've got more and more Americans needing access to food stamps and the SNAP program. You've got the other side of the equation. You've got farmers dealing with, you know, a much weaker financial environment in agriculture. So you have both sides of this saying we need more money. And that's, at the end of the day, that's going to have to be dealt with.
Exactly. And Jim, you know, when it comes to Title I, the safety net is important. But does raising the reference price change any of the fundamental situation for us? There are people out there with a long history of dealing with farm policy that are saying, let's invest it in market development. Let's invest it in biofuels. Let's invest it in things that will help us dig out of what feels like a recession in the ag economy, rather than providing the short-term fix, the band-aid of a safety net. What are your thoughts?
Well, it should be seen as a transition to doing the things that you just said, because the problem now is cash flow concerns at the farmer level. So you really need that increase in the safety net program and transition to hopefully better platform for new generation of income, the biofuels area, et cetera. But I think you have to have both.
Right.
Chip,
right.
I'm on board with you. I support that transition. The problem is that I'm not sure we have the political will to do so. And for too long, we have judged a politician's support of agriculture by, you know, helping with these kinds of financial support programs instead of we just have huge hesitation to changing our terms of reference into where we should be putting the dollars. And if your time horizon is incredibly short, then you're going to support the current system that we have. And the idea that putting those money to long-term investments in terms of market development and things like that, it's lost on people because it doesn't pay the bills tomorrow.
Right.
And that's why the transition is so hard.
Yeah, it is. It is. The Farmer Forum that we had this week, guys, Tim Burak and Frank Howie, I thought it was a really great conversation, but Tim just flat out said, listen, the ag economy is in a recession. Do you think that's the case, Jim?
If it isn't, it's close to being there.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing with my emails and speeches, I hear a lot of pain going on out there.
Yeah. Haney.
Well, hey, an indication is Iowa farm values dropping. The land value is what, 2.5%? That's a... Right. I think that's a significant indication, or at least should be a bit of a shot across the bow for a lot of people. Now, is it a disaster? No, but this is one of those environments that does weed out the weak ones. So
we're getting pulled into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, look at some of the indicators that we've got from the industry on a whole. You got Firestone layoffs in Des Moines. You got John Deere layoffs. You've got Kinsey layoffs. There's others out there that the companies with a long history of providing product into the ag industry are showing the stress, and that stress is being advertised in those layoffs. Okay, we're going to continue the conversation. Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, Davis Michelson. Presidential polls. Harris is gaining. What's it mean for this fall? We'll discuss next.
The Dirt with me, Mike Howell, an economics podcast where I present the down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Inspired by economics.com, farming's go-to informational resource, I'm here to break down the latest crop nutrition research, news, and issues, helping farmers make better business decisions through actionable insights. Let's dig in.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association.
A mostly mixed consolidation type day continues on Friday. You're listening to the American Ag Network of Jesse Allen with this market update. Well, let's take a look across the board. It's largely been a quiet day in the row crops, really about a penny or two either side of unchanged, while wheat futures have been relatively firm on the session. So downgrades to the French crop once again on Friday. That's helped out the wheat markets here somewhat, even though traders are expecting modest increases to the size of the U.S. wheat crop on Monday, along with modest increases to the size of the U.S. corn and soybean crops as well. Traders holding their breath a little bit more on the potential increases there for corn and soybeans, but a lot of folks are leaning bearish heading into Monday's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report. This is the first time we could see notable changes to planted acreage occur in the August report without a resurvey providing guidance. USDA historically would change planted acreage in October as farmer certification data became available via the Farm Service Agency. That was then moved up to September as the FSA gained efficiencies in processing the farmer certification data. This year, USDA says the FSA's data is sufficiently processed to allow it to influence WASDE planted acreage estimates in the August report. That could mean either an increase or decrease in planted acreage with good arguments for both. The FSA data is not thought to provide a good foundation in August, though, for making changes to harvested acres apart from the changes in planted acres. So it's going to be an interesting report, no doubt, on Monday. This is the American Ag Network.
Hi, this is Rick Swenson, lead agronomist with Peterson Farm Seed. We pride ourselves on being an agronomy-first company, helping you raise more bushels and maximize returns on every acre. This summer, we're bringing our agronomic insights on the road to a field near you. Join us for our series of Field Insights Days in Aberdeen, South Dakota, Belgrade and Chicago, Minnesota, and our headquarters in Prosper, North Dakota. We can't wait to show you solutions to the issues you're seeing in your fields. Although our field day may be changing, our mission is not. We want to see all farmers succeed at raising more bushels. Practical agronomic knowledge and practices are what can take high-quality seeds performance to the next level. At Peterson Farm Seed, we'll sell no seed we wouldn't be happy to plant on our own farm. And we'll make no agronomy recommendation we wouldn't implement ourselves. Visit PetersonFarmSeed.com today for more information and to view our upcoming Field Insights Days.
Mostly mixed in row crops, penny or two either side of unchanged, with Dease corn at 396 and a half level, Novi beans at 1009, wheat futures 2 to 6 higher, triple digit gains in live and feeder cattle with hogs up slightly. This is the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the free-for-all. We've got pro farmer policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, Davis Michelson, and me. Okay, Jim, break it down for us. Vice President Harris has selected Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate. What's the reaction out there in the farm community?
Well, in the farm community, again, based on my talks with farmers from Minnesota, my emails, et cetera, there's a rather negative tone on him as far as agriculture is concerned. One of the things you mentioned, some of his statements, but a key one is I had a top Minnesota official tell me not so long ago that when he was first running for governor, he asked for this person's support. He gave it, but then later on when he made some anti-agriculture decisions, this person called him up and said, why are you doing this? And Walz reportedly said, I don't need the ag vote any longer.
Right.
That means he had the suburban and urban vote in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Right. Yeah.
That doesn't go down well.
Right. Yeah. And he was born in Nebraska, West Point, Nebraska. And it's kind of a, I've gotten some messages from Nebraskans. A couple of them are saying, yeah, you know what? We'll lay claim, but the majority are saying, I don't know if he represents the Nebraska style or not. So I'm getting mixed reviews out of Nebraska, too.
Well, he got increasingly more liberal, if not progressive, after he left his 12 years in Congress and went to be governor. That's mm-hmm. clear. He really is a progressive, and that's why the push to have Harris select him was made by Bernie Sanders, AOC, and that ilk.
Okay. Yeah, I find it so I don't like the pick. I still maintain that she should have gone with Shapiro out of Pennsylvania. And it, very concerning for the Harris ticket is the fact that, you know, one of the stories circulating this week is the reason she didn't go with Shapiro is because she was worried about him stealing the limelight. That doesn't, you know, that's not good leadership if five select fours and four select three kind of you want to have the smartest people in the room around you. Right. So that's concerning. But both sides here, the Republican ticket and the Democrat ticket, didn't really try to extend to the middle with their VP picks. They went with the base. So this race has come down to rallying as much base as possible. And again, forget about the center, which is a real disservice because the center might be what actually pushes this thing over the edge in some of these swing states.
Yeah. Boy, that's a good point. Jim, your thoughts there?
I absolutely agree. I think both of them made a mistake. Yeah.
Yeah. Walz was on the House Ag Committee when he was in Congress.
Yeah, he did some good things. I think he was farmer-oriented in that way, the beginning farmer program, although I had some negatives on how that program was implemented from Minnesota farmers. He was big on the conservation area. He really dug in against the waters of the U.S. rule. So, again, I'm not going to say you shouldn't have anybody from a farm state in the White House. You know, I still would like somebody like him rather than having from an urban area because at least he understands agriculture.
Right, right. He's at least aware. He's at least aware. And, you know, a comment that I made to Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady here a couple of weeks ago when the transition was being made from Biden to Harris was the comment that I made was, you know, she may be the most unaware about agricultural issues of any president ever if she would be elected. And this at least brings an awareness into the conversation, I would think, right?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and let's be honest. Whoever wins, they have to be reminded about agriculture.
Oh, yeah.
It's been the case in the Biden administration. It was definitely the case in the Trump administration. Yeah. So it's just the way it is. This is the reality that agriculture faces, and this is why you have to have significant dollars committed to having people constantly in D.C. to remind these politicians on both sides of the aisle, especially the White House, on why agriculture is a fundamental, critical component of the economy.
And even when you have an Aggie in the White House, will they listen to a vice president who knows ag? Example, Walter Mondale tried to convince Carter not to have the grain embargo. Right. He listened to the CIA and not Mondale.
At least in this case, we know what we're up against. If you had an Aggie that was sitting in there, you'd constantly feel probably that you're being betrayed and they turn their back on the industry because we would want every single decision to go our way. So at least now, in both of these situations, on with the Trump ticket and the Harris ticket, we know what we're up against. We got to communicate. We got to work. We're gonna have to work for it.
Right. Walz is getting some support from the biofuels industry, Jim. Minnesota's been, you know, a leader in ethanol and in biodiesel, and I don't think as governor of the state that he did anything to slow that process down, did he? Maybe he did. I don't know.
No, I think he's got net positive in the biofuels area,
right?
For sure.
Well, yeah. And if we were worried about Harris's comments about fracking, you know, going back a couple weeks ago, we should be also concerned about Walz's comments regarding going with the electric power by 2040, which is fairly close as well. Right. So, you know, that ticket's going to have to do some communicating on that. Okay. The one thing I wish would stop that we could erase from all of this is both sides trying to pick apart who really served in the military and who didn't. I just think it does a disservice to the whole conversation. Let's get into policies and direction and where people want to take the country. I just both sides are doing it.
Yes, I agree, but at the same time, you want them to be accurate about the statements that they're making.
About their
own military service.
But we've got the Democrats pick in advance because he was in public relations in Iraq.
Right.
You know, and not that he's made other claims otherwise, but the people picking apart that. We got Trump making comments about military service when he didn't go to Vietnam because of bone spurs. Like, it's just let's just stop.
Yeah.
I just think it's not helpful.
Okay.
That's all.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Jim, the polls are indicating that it is a very tight race and that the race and the entrance of Harris at the top of the ticket for the Democrats is having an impact on the down ballot elections.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Charlie Cook, the my go-to guy at the Cook Political Report, basically he wrote this week, the presidential race is undeniably still very competitive and could plausibly go either way. It seems Trump still has an edge, but the opposite outcome would hardly be shocking.
Right.
A case can be made that Trump is more likely to lose this race than Harris is to win it. That means Trump is his own worst enemy. When people say that Trump can be his own worst enemy, they could be talking specifically about Georgia. And that's what Trump is putting his foot in his mouth again relative to Georgia.
Well, and I think it shows that the fact that he changed his mind on this debate in September, on September 10th, this feels like a little bit of the same Hail Mary potentially that Biden took, where he felt that he had to debate. And I agree with the people that are saying that it's a mistake for Trump to do this debate. He is, for that very reason, Jim, he can't help himself. And how his debate tactic looks different versus Biden than it looks versus Harris. And he hasn't been doing a lot of campaigning since this Harris ticket was since she entered the race.
Yeah.
And they're slow to adjust here in terms of it's a different narrative.
Yes.
Haney.
But you need to get Harris to comment on topics, though.
You can also say that he has changed his campaign techniques after someone took a shot at him.
Well,
you know,
of course.
That might have an impact on me, too.
That's very fair. He's in Bozeman, Montana tonight. Big time. That's a very important senatorial race. He has, I think, a 2-point lead on Tester. That's an incredibly important Senate race for the Republicans. They want to definitely win that one, of course. And there'll be a big crowd there, and I'm sure much heightened security.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think a debate brings him, I would say he should have that debate, because that is one of the few times you're going to get Kamala Harris to comment on individual topics, because she's not doing it right now.
She's doing rallies, but she hasn't done any sit down interviews yet, which I think she can only push back against that for so long. Now, their camp is saying that they're going to wait till after the convention. I have no idea what the convention has to do with actually having a sit down interview, but she's got to change what she's doing to answer some questions.
Yes.
Yeah. She's having rallies and saying nothing. That is what I mean. I'm looking for some substance in her comments, and I'm just not seeing it. But 20 seconds, Jim, does it put the house up for grabs?
It does put the house up for grabs. And because of the enthusiasm, you'll be getting more Democrats to actually go to the polls and vote. Yeah. But I still think the Republicans take the Senate. They won't get as many seats as they would have.
Okay. All right. Good conversation, guys. Really good. All right. We've got USDA reports coming up on Monday. We've got some investigations into used cooking oil, the sources of the feedstock for the renewable diesel. I want to talk about those two things when we come back on the Free for All on AgriTalk.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
In this season of independence, we salute all those families preparing for the local county fair. To the kids sweating in the barn and all those parents standing ringside, let us help get those animals' diets just right and ready for show day. So grab that blue ribbon and plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-230-2777, 800-230-2777, or biglou.com.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And a nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh.
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org.
Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and AgDay's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us for the free-for-all. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, and, of course, Davis Michelson with us today. Jim, what is this that some growers might have to repay the emergency relief program payments? What's this about?
Yeah, and it's not just the 2022 ERP, by the way, but if a farmer indicated every acre of eligible crops was insured when applying for that ERP chip, these audits or reviews are finding that any portion of that land that was uninsured, they might be required to repay the funds.
Not all the funds, or all?
I don't think not all. No, not all.
Right.
I would hope that they're not out. I have asked for clarification on that, however.
Okay.
What would be the do we have any idea the total amount potentially to be repaid?
No. These are questions that you're asking the right questions that I've asked them, and I'm waiting for some more answers.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, of course, this includes marginal land that may not have been planted with crops, but was still considered parts of the farm's total acreage. Now, right. That kind of implies that they may all be out, Chip. That might be something for Paul Niefer, too.
Yeah, well, we're going to have Niefer on Monday morning because we got to ask him about this.
Yeah, because there is an insurance requirement in the program.
Right, right. So Farm CPA Paul Niefer is going to be on Monday morning with us. He had several updates this week that we need to get him on and talk about, so we're going to do that. Okay, another one that's got me curious is the EPA investigation into the sources of used cooking oil. This is something that I think is long overdue, and then EPA says this is something that we've been doing all along. I don't know which to believe.
Yeah, well, what took them so long to get that out? Because right now you've got the U.S. imported near record levels of renewable diesel the first 5 months of this year, Chip. They're averaging 30,000 barrels per day. That's almost a 30% increase compared to last year. You know, so it's tied to the West Coast, where like California, Oregon, and Washington have clean fuel programs that incentivize the use of that renewable diesel. But relative to if is it being used for the renewable fuel standard program, et cetera, this gets farm state lawmakers and farm groups just up in the air, because here's taxpayers' money going for tax incentives for biofuels. They want it to be U.S. origin, period. Right.
And they have a clean fuel standard in those states, yet the issue around the UCO could be that it's coming from deforestation related to palm oil.
Right.
There seems to be if that's the case, doesn't that seem to be a little bit hypocritical? I don't know.
Yeah, Haney, do you remember the story about how cooking oil was being contaminated at the ports because it was being transported in tanks that that weren't cleaned out.
Oh, yeah. That's when I said I like a little bit of a taste of sulfur.
Yeah, the coal sulfur in your cooking oil. That's, I think it's all tied to the same thing. They knew what they were doing. They knew that they didn't have to preserve the quality of that palm oil as it was arriving because they were going to move it from one boat to another and ship it over here and get the tax credits.
And how many months has it been since the EU has stopped that product coming from China, and then you saw the increase coming from China into the U.S.?
To the U.S.
Yeah.
Well, and what's wrong domestically in the U.S. that not self-sustainable or at least close to when it comes to renewable diesel? That needs to be some internal look there, too.
That's kind of my question. We've been super critical of the EV market because the infrastructure just isn't there. It's this idea of this burns my biscuits, but are we just in a transition phase till the infrastructure can catch up? We might need those 30,000 barrels per day just to keep the idea going.
For sustainable aviation fuel, you probably do.
Yeah. There's lots of targets that are put out there, and through all of that, Summit, the CO2 pipeline in the Midwest that's going to be moving CO2 or is planned to move CO2 into permanent sequestration to lower the carbon count, the carbon intensity score on corn-based ethanol, they're pushing back the start date. They continue to push it back. At some point, if the project is going to do what it is intended to do and create another market for corn-based ethanol, well, then let's get going with this thing.
Yeah, what I reported this morning, Chip, the big one coming up in South Dakota, the most significant regulatory challenge remains in that state because plans to reapply in South Dakota, but the state's regulatory law is subject to a November 2024 referendum. So that's going to further complicate the process.
Yeah, it certainly does. Certainly does. Big reports on Monday, Jim. We get the first USDA's first estimate of the 2024 corn and soybean crops.
Yeah, the corn one should have a better handle on the corn rather than beans as usual, right, Chip?
Yep.
I would think. Yeah. Yep. And that they'll be cussing and discussing that when the number.
Oh, yeah.
When the number comes
yeah,
out.
Yeah. All we're going to find out from this is just how wrong people think they are.
Yes.
That's the first thing we'll find out. So big plans for the weekend, Jim, Sean, you guys got big plans? I do.
Well, I do tonight. I'm going to go see the D-backs and the Phillies tonight. I am excited about that, Chip.
Very cool.
I'll continue to recover from a fall out of a hot tub. I'll leave it at that.
Take care of yourself. I am going to be working with Lucy Wibholm to show Ronnie in the Iowa Governor's Charity Steer Show at the Great Iowa State Fair. How do you like them apples, boys?
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun stuff.
It's a great cause. It's the Ronald McDonald House's Charities of Iowa. And I am very, very happy to be working with Lucy to get out there and support the efforts out there of the Foster and Evelyn Barkema Charitable Trust. And, of course, the Friends of Franklin County Cattlemen. I'll be doing that at the Iowa State Fair on Saturday. Come back this afternoon, 206 Central.
Small insects can become monster problems in post-harvest stored grains. Protect your grains with Gravista D insecticide, the ideal on-farm solution that combines an adulticide, synergist, and an insect growth regulator. Apply as grain is loaded into storage to control these bugs and help reduce shrink and insect damage kernels by up to 18%. Protect your grain from monster bug problems with Gravista D insecticide from Central Life Sciences. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn more.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates.
Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Longing for thick, healthy, gorgeous hair? Hair Volume from New Nordic is trusted by millions of women around the world. With clinically proven ingredients like apple extract, biotin, and millet, Hair Volume nourishes your hair follicles to promote thicker, healthier looking hair. Say goodbye to shedding thin and dull hair, and hello to thick, healthy hair with Hair Volume. Hair Volume is available.